You're on Joy 94.9. This is a triple bypass again for another Tuesday night. You're here with Anthony.
And Christina.
And Ruby.
And we have our podcaster in the studio with us tonight.
Hooray!
Hi everyone, I'm Tim.
Welcome, Tim. It's so great to have you here. We now quadruple bypass all the valves. What was it? 2% chance of survival.
So you just heard Sophie Alex Baxter on Heartbreak, Make Me a Dancer. I danced to that song alone. In my room, up really loud. It's fun.
It's a fun song.
Not something you'd want to admit, though, is it?
But you dance by yourself in your room.
Oh, I think we've all been there.
Oh, I've danced everywhere on my own.
This entire song's about that. So Tim is going to be doing our podcast, which you can access at joy.org.au/ triple bypass. I almost said The Informer, but it's the wrong show.
Ooh.
Now, and also, of course, also you can message us in. Do you want to tell them about that, Anthony?
Yeah, if you want to get involved in the show, feel free to. You can send us an SMS on 0427 joy949 or send us an email, even better, onair@joy.org.au.
We love to hear from you.
Yeah, get involved in the show.
Now, Tim, so you mentioned that you identify as bisexual.
I do, yes.
Now, we've all had a bit of a chat about our revelations and our moments of, I think Anthony's was that he thought he thought it was a phase and the phase just didn't end,
yes,
that sort of
still
a thing.
Going.
So do you want to let us know what was your story?
I have a big story, actually, a very long-winded one that...
Well, we have 4 minutes.
Take a little while.
Our producer's reaching for the buttons already.
But, yeah, it was interesting in terms of the growing up within... an environment where I was in a Christian home, and it was one of those things where I was put down a lot in terms of my sexuality. I first came out as bisexual when I was 16 to my parents, and then later on I found it easier to identify as gay, so I went on with that. But I've sort of since then changed my perspective on things, and it's gotten to the point where I'm allowing myself to actually be okay with myself in the way that I'm the way that I am, and not let other people actually dictate to me what it is that I do.
And you're bisexual?
Yes, I am.
Congratulations. Well, it's pretty great for us too.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
It's great to have you. Welcome home. Can I ask a question about are you still a practicing Christian?
I would say no.
No.
I'm more spiritual than anything else.
And was your coming out and the reaction of your family, did that have anything to do with you changing your mind in terms of what you believe?
During school, I was actually involved in an ex-gay ministry, which was interesting. I was doing stuff here in Melbourne, but also online.
Is that like conversion?
Conversion therapy, yes.
Oh, ouch. Crapples.
And so I was in a position where I... wasn't the best in terms of my mental health growing up.
Yeah.
And so it was difficult for me to actually accept myself and where I was at. So,
well, that sounds tough. I'm interested in conversion therapy because I'm interested in opening up a clinic to convert people to bisexual. Like, seriously. Like, people don't know what they're missing.
I agree. And I think, you know, it would also be a lot cuddlier and friendlier. One of the things that always got me about conversion therapy, aside from like the horror stories you hear about like electric shocks and stuff, is the idiocy of putting a bunch of gay boys together in a camp.
Wow.
Like, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to go and, like, you know, we're going to pray away the gay, all of us together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, all right.
Still praying.
They're doing something.
But I'm a cheerleader.
Yeah, I love that film.
It's the best film. I got to meet Dante Basco.
Oh, wow.
When I was doing Sci-Fi and Scream. But
amazing.
It's really, really good.
It's a fun film. I love that film. Do you think that there is a place for bisexuals, queers, LGBTI community within religion still, or do we have to splinter off and actually create our own club?
I think it's interesting, like, because at the moment there is this whole movement to actually go out of, like, if you're Christian and you're gay, you know, make your own thing.
Hmm.
And from both sides, from both the gay community as well as the Christian community. And I think what needs to happen is that people need to make their own individual groups, I believe.
Yeah.
And
to be safe, to feel safe.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, you're going to hang around for the show. So Tim's our podcaster, everyone. So it's great to have you with us and part of the team. We're going to go to a track and we'll be back to talk about more things, all things bi, really.
All things bisexual.
Right after this, you're on Joy.
And you're back on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And you're with Christina.
Anthony.
Ruby.
And Tim.
Hooray! Yay!
That's right. Tim is here joining us. Tim is joining the Triple Bypass team as the podcaster and is here to share with us his own stories about bisexuality, which is great. Get in contact with us, guys. You can text in at 0427JOY949 or send us an email at onair@joy.org.au. We have received a few texts. Anthony, yeah. Someone seems to be quite a fan.
I have lots of fans.
Well, this person is like, you know, first message is Anthony is king. It's just like, yes. What kind of patriarchal nonsense are they trying to pull here?
I like that. Yeah, send in facts. We want to hear all of that.
Send in facts like Anthony is king.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for that, listener.
He also wants us to play the Village People.
That's not going to happen.
No.
That's on a little more serious news. I have an article here from SBS Sexuality about how recently a 51-year-old Jamaican asylum seeker will be deported from the US following a court ruling that says he cannot be bisexual because he's married to a woman. Now, appealing the ruling, Ray Fuller testified at the Seventh Circuit Court that he has been subject to homophobic slurs, attacked with a knife, stoned, robbed at gunpoint, shot twice, and disowned by his family as a result of his sexuality. But despite within Jamaica.
Right.
But despite highlighting that he's been in relationships with men and women in the past, the judge in the original case has ruled that he's not bisexual and therefore not in danger of being subjected to homophobic attacks. This is 2016.
Yes.
Your relationship status does not invalidate your sexuality. Yes. We're going to say that a million times tonight.
But the idea of, you know, actually saying you can't be a bisexual, it's not even that, you know, he's bisexual, but therefore, you know, because he's in a relationship with a woman, is not as likely to be attacked for homophobic reasons. Mm. But no, they're just saying, no, you're a straight person, so you've got to go back to a place where anyone with a sexuality deviating from heterosexual is treated like a leper.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, that's the problem with non-inclusiveness, isn't it? That they squeeze people into fit into the way that they may understand the world. And that level of discrimination to happen in a courtroom as well, that's just astounding.
It's ignorance, plain and simple ignorance of not understanding what bisexuality is and being a valid and real way of identifying yourself.
I just can't imagine how you could hear this man talk about the experiences he's had, you know, with being attacked for, you know, on reasons of homophobia and biphobia, and then be like, no, you're not at any risk, so you've got to go back.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, back in the Victorian era, Queen Victoria, I think it was, there were no...
Was she bisexual?
No. Sorry. I don't know. I'm not her. But there were no laws against lesbianism because she didn't believe that lesbians existed.
Well, they didn't believe women had sex drives. So the idea of two women being together, like, didn't mean they had a sexuality because
they also believed that our vaginas were just penises inverted. So that's the saying a lot.
They also believed our uteruses could wander around our bodies.
Yeah. But the idea of denying something because you don't believe it exists does not mean it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what a case of bi invisibility there. Yeah. And I'm not saying that, you know, everyone who's facing that sort of discrimination needs to be an activist in the community or in the bi community, but that, I mean, there's an opportunity for the discussion to be had.
And there's an opportunity for, you know, for gay people to stand up and say, actually, this is unfair as well. Like, you know, because it's not, he's not just dealing with homophobia, he's dealing with biphobia, and
which
that's
is a different,
different
thing.
Yes.
Much like, you know, being gay and bi are different things. We've got another message in from Marianne in Gardenvale. Hi, guys. What proportion of the queer community is bi?
I don't know.
I have an answer for that.
Oh, do you?
And I read it, so I can't even tell you the source, so I can't reference this. So this is going to sound made up, but it's really not. I had the majority of people who identify as non-heterosexual tick the bisexual box.
That's what I've seen when I've been doing research for, like, backgrounds on studies when they, do surveys on university students and stuff like that. Yeah, it was the same thing. Out of, like, all the women who identified as, like, you know, not straight, I think 60% identified as bisexual or more.
Well, maybe that's why more people aren't openly out as bi, because you get told that you're not bisexual, just like this bloody judge.
It's kind of just really horrifying to even read that, really. Like, that idea of just someone being like, well, if you're in a heterosexual relationship, you're heterosexual, therefore you are not at risk. Because I feel that's what the gay community puts on us, saying, well, you don't have to deal with the stuff we deal with, so you shouldn't be part of our spaces. Yeah. And it's just like, man.
I think we need to also remember that everything is valid. Like, the experiences that we have and the experiences that within the gay community, they're valid.
Yeah.
So I think everyone needs to actually realise that that's the case and not... Well,
let's share the oppression. Share the oppression around. Come
on. But it's the idea of focus groups, you know, when and this is in reference to a non-sexuality thing, but when Black Lives Matter hashtag came out, you know, people were saying, oh, all lives matter, la la la. Yes, they do. But as I read on Facebook the other day, when you go into a Korean restaurant that serves Korean food, you're not going, what about the tacos?
Yeah.
You know, it's not one group does not invalidate the existence or refute the existence of another group. It is just merely a focus on.
Yeah. I saw a great cartoon that described that. It had two houses and one house was on fire and a guy had the hose on the house that was not on fire saying that all houses matter. And I feel that kind of sums it up. You're listening to Triple Bypass. Welcome back. You're on Joy 94.9 and I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Christina.
And I'm Tim.
Hooray! That's right. There is four of us tonight. It is a quadruple bypass. Tim is joining the team. He's going to be helping us out with podcasting. And by helping us out, I mean doing most of it because none of us know what we're doing except for him.
Quadruple bypass. Passing, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Wow, that's serious surgery.
Yeah, 2% chance of survival. We're not making that up. They're literally taking the heart out of your chest. Now, while we were playing that wonderful song, Express Yourself by Madonna, we received a text from Johnny from Altona. Please tell us who your hottest bi celebs are. You, Johnny. You're the hottest bi celeb.
Johnny, we love you.
No, honestly, we were thinking about it. We talked a bit about that on our first show. And
we did.
Probably, you know, we've got some other things you want to talk about. And, like, people are hot. Everyone's kind of hot.
Yeah.
I could talk about hot guys for ages and hot women, but, you know, that's for another day.
I did want to make a point about my comment about Angelina Jolie saying that she used to be bisexual, and I found that a little
bit. And this came up because when you Google bi celebrities, you get a picture of Angelina Jolie right away.
Yeah.
So she's, like, literally the face of bi celebrities.
Yeah. Mm. And I don't mind people changing their minds. That's fine if you used to be bi and now straight or you're now gay, whatever, that's awesome. But the way that she referenced her fling with bisexuality was that she was young and silly. So putting the silly connotation on being bi or thinking that she was something special by being in a relationship with a woman, and that
was just a phase.
A phase or a youthful, you know, indiscretion. I'm sorry,
No, that's really annoying. But I even disagree with the fact that you choose not to be bisexual. I know that's your choice and you can do that, but just for me, if I think about sort of where my gay bi politics lies, bisexuality is a sexual orientation that you're born with, just like any other sexual orientation.
Yeah, you can't choose it.
So,
if you're attracted to people of the same sex, you're attracted to people of the same sex. Yeah. What you call that is up to you.
Yeah.
But
whether you choose to act on that is also up to you.
Exactly. Mm.
Yes. Angelina, you're stuck with us, honey.
That's yeah.
You.
Sorry, babe.
You're one of us. One of us. One of us. All right. Now, moving on to a little more lighthearted topics, though. I think now we were talking about Anna Paquin before, Tim.
Yes, we were.
She's a Kiwi.
She is.
Because she's had some experience with, you know, similar things with, unlike Angelina Jolie, she's married and people are like, you know, then assume that her bisexuality has ended, has come to its natural conclusion. So what was she saying about that?
It was back in, I think, 2014. Larry King actually asked the question.
That's right.
And,
love Larry King.
Because he was asking...
Sorry, Tim.
That's okay. But he was asking stuff about her bisexuality and that she's a non-practicing bisexual. And I don't like that term.
Yeah.
She responded in such a way that was my ideal rebuttal in terms of that. It's like, when does my bisexuality end?
Yeah, right. She didn't say, I don't think it's a term of being a past thing.
Yeah.
Right. You know? A non-practicing bisexual. I love it.
Bisexual in remission.
But in remission,
it's a cancer.
How would you refer to an overworked bisexual, practicing bisexual? But I've heard they're out there. I'm just asking.
Was that you talking about yourself on a Sunday morning?
An exhausted bisexual.
This isn't practice anymore. This is very experienced.
I've been practicing for 20 years now. I think I'm getting good at it.
It's interesting because there's been a book that was published recently, and there was an article in The Age about it's called Women Who Love Bisexual Men or something.
No, it's Anthony knows.
Yeah, the title. I really want to read this book because it's called Bi Men. By women, so bi men, by women, so women writing about bi men, basically.
Yeah, And so the article in The Age was mostly talking about, so the woman was talking about, you know, she married her, her and her husband was married, and then he came out as bi after they were married, and he'd been really anxious about, you know, what that meant, and so they had to kind of slowly, so she was helping, because they were in an open marriage already, and so, you know, helping him kind of come to terms with that it was okay to have sex with men, but also how a lot of times, you know, there's this kind of really, like, nasty stereotype of bisexual men, like, you know, putting women's lives at risk because they're promiscuous.
Yeah, there's the idea that they promote the spread of HIV/AIDS, which is offensive, number one, and number two, probably highly inaccurate.
I think inaccurate because what we understand about same-sex attracted men is that they're more likely to be screened for sexual health issues than men who identify as heterosexual. So,
well, you know, with the recent news that PrEP has been won't be, you know, on the the public
really?
Yeah.
Really
because apparently men who have sex with men are just too negligent a group for them to be able to invest that in.
Oh, get effed.
Yeah.
Negligent a group.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, it's the same thing as, you know, like, you know, not being able to donate, men who have sex with men not being able to donate blood. It's a similar concept, this idea that because this is the people you have sex with, you are automatically putting yourself at risk and therefore more likely to be diseased. Like, that's literally it. And it's kind of, you know.
Well, I'll tell you something. A big disclosure here. I'm an ex-sex worker. I can't donate blood because I'm an ex-sex worker. Even though I haven't worked in the industry for almost 10 years now. I also can't get a working with children check because apparently I'm going to go into schools and tell them to all become prostitutes.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way that the I guess mainstream perceive who are the at-risk groups and who aren't. Mm. And generally my understanding is that sex workers get screened routinely also because it's very important.
It's actually in the law. Right. It's part of the Prostitution Control Act of 94 that sex workers and sexual service providers have to be checked every month.
Yeah.
So and this is it's the same thing. It's this ignorant idea of a label meaning something that it actually doesn't mean.
Right. And with bisexuals, there is that perception that bisexuals are the people who pass on the traditionally, you know, gay or homosexual diseases into the inverted commas straight world
due to their extreme promiscuity.
And
I think one of the things that was mentioned just in this article about the book was that there were some bisexual men who were not, who, you know, who had agreed that they could have sex outside of their relationship but were not telling their girlfriends when they had sex with guys because of the shame that they still felt about having sex with men. And, you know, because unfortunately society, a majority of society still does really, you know, get really caught up about that.
I don't necessarily think that that's limited to bisexual men. I know a lot of men who cheat on their partners and don't tell them because they're assholes.
Because they're cheating.
Because they're cheating, you know, and it's, I think, like, attributing a certain...
I meant within an open relationship, sorry. So men who, like, you know, their relationship was open.
Right, but they're still not sex, saying...
And they were saying, like, you know, I slept with a woman, but they would not say they'd slept with a guy.
Right.
And so they'd find, like, so a woman would, like, find a condom and have to be like, hey, so... We need to be able to communicate about this.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So just like any betrayal in a relationship, because I've worked with a lot of same-sex attracted couples where non-monogamy is actually the preferred model of intimacy, if you like, and that there are some, you know, people think that open relationships are this free-for-all, you know, sex fest.
There are rules.
There are rules. There are guidelines.
Yeah.
And for
are
those...
Are you also in an open relationship?
I was in an open relationship when I was back in Canberra, and there's a actual book called The Ethical Slut. Which is a really good book.
Who's that by?
I'm not entirely sure. I haven't read it as of yet. I'm going to be reading it. But
love that title.
It's a great title.
It's a great title.
Can we look that up? The Ethical Slut by someone? Because I'd be really interested. I'm going to look it up on my computer.
You should get that on a T-shirt.
Well, I think so. And I'm wondering, I don't know anything about that book, but I'm wondering if it is about, well, I don't know in what way they're referring in terms of using the word slut, but if they're talking about the fact that there are some agreements made, if you're going to have a sort of non-monogamous or polyamorous relationship, that you have to sort of make sure that everyone's feelings are considered and everyone's safety is in check also.
And I think just like in any relationship, there are, you know, possibilities for polygamous relationships to be abusive. Like, I've definitely encountered, like, you know, a man who was like, you know, or a girl who was dating a guy who was also dating another girl and stuff like that. But he was very much like pitting them against each other.
Right.
Like, you know, old school, like first and second wife kind of nonsense. Yeah. And so, you know, that unfortunately, you know, and it's just like, you know, how in the BDSM community, there are guys who are just there because they get off on hurting people and they're not interested. And like, you know, so unfortunately, you know, it's not everything. But and it shouldn't define that like those kinds of relationships in itself, but it is worth noticing that there are, of course, issues that can occur in polygamy as well.
Yeah, well, that completely cancels my theory. I had this theory that polyamory could be one way to sort of lessen sort of family violence against women.
Oh, no, no, I don't think that's wrong. You know, in Tanzania, women are marrying each other now because they can inherit property through each other and stuff like that, and it means they escape family violence and everything. And I think generally anything that breaks down this idea of traditional, like, you know, nuclear nonsense is not a bad thing.
Right.
Well, speaking of that, the book is called The Ethical Slut, A Practical Guide to Polyamory, Open Relationships and Other Adventures by Dossie Easton.
So, and Janet Hardy.
And Janet Hardy. So get on that, because that sounds really,
really interesting. It's published in 1997. They were ahead of their time.
Oh, yeah. Polyamorists have been around for a long time.
Yes.
Polyamorists.
Right. And I'm poly. And Tim, I would have to actually admit that I'm a non-practicing poly at this stage.
So am I, actually. I'm in a monogamous relationship now. And that's the other point I wanted to make, is that bisexual people, anybody really, is capable of being in a quite happy monogamous relationship. Mm. Just because you're bi doesn't mean you're poly, and just because you're poly doesn't mean you're a slut, and just because you're poly doesn't mean you can't have a happy, healthy relationship, and just because you're monogamous doesn't mean you're missing out.
Mm. And in fact, if you want to see some serious work and deliberate conversations and negotiations about relationships and dynamics and roles and responsibilities, I mean, just go to the poly community. You know, nothing gets missed.
Like, well,
sounds like a project.
To make those things work, you know, there has to be constant open communication, because otherwise, otherwise things can get settled in and get dark, and, you know, people hold on to things and feel resentful and like they're the third wheel, and then it's just all. But I think from what I've read, everyone in all three of them will feel like the third wheel at some point.
And you're on Joy. Jesus bloody.
Triple Bypass. That's us. You're on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby.
Anthony's here.
And I'm Mibbe.
That's Christina.
Tim's here too.
Good on you, Timmy.
Now, we were going to... I think one of the reasons you might get a bit flustered is because you were getting quite outraged during that, right?
I was getting quite outraged, yes. About the whole Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing. Amber Heard is an actor and a model.
Openly bisexual.
Openly bisexual as well, and was considered during this entire divorce process as being a money-grubbing, attention-seeking whore, to such an extent that Peter Ford, great Australian that he is, said that they had it coming because you can't trust a bisexual.
Yeah, I was noticing that some of the articles, you know, they talk about, you know, did bisexual Amber's, like, lesbian friend put a strain on the relationship?
Mm.
And this whole idea that, you know, men, like, you know, that Depp was made to feel insecure because she was also attracted to women and things like that.
Mm.
Like,
get over it.
So trying to protect men from their feelings. And it's just interesting. There's so many things wrong with this, because it ultimately it moves the emphasis off his violence as well, totally. Doesn't it?
And then, like, you know, then they finally, like, you know, by the end of it, they had video footage. But I thought what was the best part was, you know, when she did get the settlement, which is, I think, $10 million, she gave it all to charity.
Yep.
Actually, to a charity for women for domestic violence and a children's hospital. So, gold digger, she ain't.
That's right.
Well, I hope she kept some of it for herself and did something nice for herself.
I think she's actually pretty well off. You know, I think
she is a successful woman on her own part, you know, without being married to a Johnny Dickface.
That's over now. And, unfortunately, I'm not, hopefully, within time, much like has happened with Woody Allen, people will kind of realise that they were being terrible to her.
Yeah.
But, you know, might take a little while. The way they were using bisexual in the headlines, it was like they were kind of using it as a substitute for slut.
Right.
Like, it really much was like, you know, like this emphasis on bisexual, like, you know, and then the rest of the headline would be how she was out with her girlfriends and stuff like that. Again, pushing this idea that she can't be trusted. Wasn't that what he said? That you can't. She couldn't be trusted because
you can't marry one because we can't be trusted.
Fun bisexual fact: you can't marry us. We literally disappear in a puff of smoke. Actually, I have some pretty fun bisexual facts. Would you guys like to hear some?
I'd love to hear some.
All bisexuals are given a pouch of gold at birth that they hide. If you can find it, you choose if they become straight or gay.
That's
true,
right.
Facts.
Mine's buried really somewhere high. Deep.
Two bisexuals in a relationship with each other is known as a tandem bisexual. Most bisexuals choose to consume the flesh of their partner after mating to enhance their powerful and mysterious libido.
What, you mean you don't?
I am part grasshopper. I thought we had established that.
If you've never met a bisexual person, you can summon one by playing a David Bowie album backwards.
This is true. Actually true, because I am often summoned by David Bowie.
Which song? Which song summons you?
Angel.
I'm Only Dancing is mine, because that was the song that was kind of like, that's kind of gay, but yeah, I like it.
And his red Heroes is a good one. Yeah, I can be summoned by Bowie like three ways from Sunday.
I actually do believe the universe is falling apart since he died.
I think so.
Things seem to be getting pretty dark.
Yeah.
Oh, come back to us, Bowie. Now, another one. Bisexuals formed a mutual defence alliance with mermaids in the 16th century that is still honoured today.
Mm. The mermaids creatures. Have kind of reneged on their deal, though. They're not...
They're now women who don't like labels.
Yeah.
Right.
Ocean
Privilege.
Women.
Privilege.
Also, sexuality is fluid. Bisexuals are also fluid. We only take solid form for this week.
Gotta get those solids in.
Oh, no, it,
I consume
great.
A lot of liquids, usually even alcoholic venue, because being bisexual, I'm a dirty screaming slut, and we need alcohol in order.
Yeah. Oh, well, this will be the best
one. Depends on the day of the week for me.
Bisexuals have their straight gay switch broken and cycle rapidly between the two states at 2,900,000 times per second.
That's actually true, that one. For me, that's
if it's
true.
A crowded room full of good-looking people, I know that feeling of like, oh my goodness, there's so many conflicting
sensory overload. It's like,
yes. I think again, it was like when I saw, you know, the new Star Wars. I was like, this is like, it's like we won a lottery. I didn't even know we'd entered. They're all so attractive, and I can like all of them.
Right.
It's, you know, it is great. You know, you can have like it was in the originals. I had a huge crush on Leia as well as Han Solo.
Mm.
Definitely.
Mm.
Not you?
Look, I was just, you know, we're talking
cool
about Star Wars,
Star Wars,
aren't we?
Yeah,
that's
Star Wars.
Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I
he was too much of a whinger for me.
He kissed his sister.
And he was...
Casual.
Yeah.
Very casually.
Well, very kind of... And on the nose, kind of a little bit, too.
Yeah,
kissing it like it's all very incestuous. And it wasn't his father. Was he going to kill his father? Or something happened with his father or something or other? I don't watch
spoiler
it.
Alert. I was going to say...
It's been out for like 30 years. So.
It's only one of the most like quoted and like, you know, referenced pieces of cinematic history.
I watch Kylie film clips at home. Thank you very much.
Oh, that explains so much.
Yeah, no, my sci-fi freak and the one that made me feel weird in all sorts of places was always The X-Files.
Yeah.
With strong woman like Scully and the tall, dark and deadpanly handsome David Duchovny playing Mulder. It just made me feel weird in all sorts of pants.
I had that with Buffy and Angel. Like, I was like, I would love to be like the meat in that sandwich.
Faith.
She was pretty
special. Eliza Dushku, you got my number, girl.
The old meat in the sandwich chick, eh?
Yep.
Well, I love Eliza Dushku says because she was in Buffy and is like, you know, therefore like in the like cult fandom stuff, she's always appearing at like video game conventions and stuff. Love it.
She actually made a statement quite recently that she always played Faith as if she was in love with Buffy.
Yes!
Which I just went...
I was going to say, my fan fiction was true. Finally.
It's good to stumble across those sorts of things. It kind of reminds me of whenever I watch a Wham! Film clip now, I look at George Michael and think, how could we have not known?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, don't the yellow sleeveless gloves give it away?
Yeah.
I mean, there's fingerless gloves.
Sleeveless gloves.
I think that was the same with the Navy, with the village people.
Village people
as well.
Yeah.
They
but it was
it
the 70s and things were...
I was going to say, it was like...
Lines were blurred.
Did they try and say they were straight? Was that a thing that actually happened?
I think
there are people that just did not conceive of the idea that they weren't straight.
Well, people, I think, were still kind of... support, you know, because people were surprised Freddie Mercury was not straight as well. And then, of course, like, he's gay. And it's like,
actually,
no.
Actually, he was bi.
He was bi.
Yeah, he liked the girls and the boys.
But I think at that time in history, if you had HIV, that was it. You were gay.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I think, you know, that's kind of, again, part of the bi thing is that once, you know, you did something that marked you as having same-sex preferences, that was it. That was all you would be. But that is not the case now. We now know there is many, many beautiful forms of sexuality, including bisexuality.
Including bisexuality. Especially bisexuality.
Especially bisexuality. You're back on Triple Bypass. Was that John Oliver I just heard?
Yeah, interrupting me. Thanks.
You're on Joy 94.9. Triple Bypass. I'm Ruby.
Yeah, Anthony.
Christina.
And Tim.
Hooray!
Hooray, that's right. Now we are here. We're almost at the end of our show now, but you can catch this show and the rest of this. We'll now have a podcast, which you can get at joy.org.au/triple-bypass. So please subscribe to that and you can listen to us and we'll cut out some of the more wandering bits probably. I don't know. I'm sure Tim can make some judgment calls on that.
Me yelling really high. We also have a Facebook page, so jump on and like us. We are on Facebook, obviously, /triple-bypass. So, yeah, get on there, be a fan,
You can email us at triplebypass@joy.org.au if there's anything you'd like to hear on the show, any questions you have.
Yeah, and remember, this show isn't just for bi people. This is for those of you out there who have relationships with us, who like us, who hang out with us occasionally.
Who are confused by us.
And who dance next to us and maybe are too afraid to dance too closely.
Because it is catching. I'm just letting you that, know that now.
Hyper-contagious.
Touch me and you're bi. Sorry, mate.
And just be aware that Bi Visibility Day is on the 23rd of September this year, so there's all sorts of things you can do, I guess, in
and
the
bi community. We'll be reminding you of that every week until the 23rd of September.
We take bi visibility pretty personally.
Yes, we do.
Wear something purple.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wear something bisexual.
The bisexual flag is blue, pink, and purple. So there are some lovely colours to choose from. But purple is the big colour. Also, this Friday is where Purple Day as well. Purple's just a great queer colour, I think.
But purple's an awesome colour anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's interesting about talking about visibility. You know, I was just thinking, you know, how there's that kind of... We're now getting so much better at seeing queer representation in television. Mm. And bisexuals are still very much like, if they're either, I don't like labels. So, you know, you never actually hear the term bisexual. Like, you know, Orange is the New Black. Mm. Piper Chapman was engaged to a guy having sex with a woman. But it's like, so what are you? Oh, I don't like labels. Well.
That's the white privilege thing that I was talking about last week. Mm. I think it's very easy for people who have privilege to be able to say, I don't like labels.
And there's also Nip and Tuck, I think. They had a bisexual guy who used his sexuality. Like, you know, gets manipulate people and
ends up being a murderer.
And not acknowledging someone's label can completely dismiss and disregard the enormous and hard work that goes into the sort of personal process and journey to get to that label to say, hey, I'm bisexual.
Yeah.
Mm. And to say that, you know, labels don't mean a thing can actually be quite offensive to people.
Yeah. Well, hugely. Mm. Like, you know, being able to, I think there's a lot to say about, you know, being able to watch a show and have a character be like, oh, yeah, I'm bi, and just be like, I instantly feel a point of connection.
Mm.
You know, I'm seeing someone who is like me on television. And that's always important. That's like being proven. And, you know, you only have to hear Whoopi Goldberg talking about watching Star Trek and seeing Uhura and being like, there is a black girl who is not a maid and I can be whatever I want because she can too.
Yep.
It's the same with bisexuals, you know. Yep. It's the same with anyone who you're not used to seeing. Mm. When you see it and you make it normal, people feel more comfortable with that in themselves.
Yeah, totally.